Vibe higher, bitch. Vibe higher.
Welcome to Superficial Magic, the most magical place on the planet. I am your host, Megan Granger, and as always, we are joined by producer Crystal Chris.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
So good.
You're kind of sleepy today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got up at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
So fun.
Crystal Chris has a really cool conversation to have today that's kind of going to be hard. So I'm thinking that your lack of sleep will really promote that to the next level.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to that. Our guest today is Dolores Tersini, and she's one of my really good friends, but most of all, she's one of the wisest people that I've ever known. She's really built a life for herself that I'm inspired by. She was on one of our older episodes. I think it was like the 5th maybe. So she kind of explains how she got to where she got in her life because she's a baller.
Baller. Hardcore baller.
Yeah. We're talking like ballin'. So today I had her on. Today's Heart Chakra Week. Everybody please go follow me at Vibe Higher Bitch on Instagram. We're doing all this beautiful chakra shit. But anyway, today's Heart Chakra Week. And she has been struggling to find love, which makes no sense.
No sense.
She's gorgeous. She's so kind. Mm. She's honest. She's worldwide. You know,
she's worldwide.
Is that something like Pitbull says or something? Yeah, that's what Pitbull
if
says.
If Pitbull says it, we can say it.
She's worldwide and she's just glorious. So we kind of talk about what blocks she has. And even if you're in a relationship, there's all these ways we try to keep our heart safe, you know? So we just go through some of the attachment styles and just a bunch of stuff that I think everybody should know. So that's today's episode. I think it's going to be great.
I love it.
I think you're going to love it. Okay, wonderful. Back to you, your favorite subject. How are you doing? Are you going to be okay with your sleepiness and your hard conversation? And Crystal Chris started therapy.
Yeah.
He's digging deep into his emotions.
Yeah.
I'm setting some boundaries.
You have to take it really slow.
I love how I just interrupted you while I was...
and breathe.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the key.
I have a lot of confidence in this. I truly do. Vibrators, if you want a t-shirt, go to superficialmagic.com. If you want to rate the podcast 5 stars, it means so much to me. And the next person to write a 5-star review will get a free t-shirt of their choice. So go to Superficial Magic to look at what those t-shirts look like because it's pretty stupid. They're so good.
They're so good.
Yeah. So anyway, have a great week, guys. We love you and we will talk to you next week. Bye. Basically, you just started talking, and I was like, I'm turning the microphone on because we need to know this.
Okay.
Okay.
So I recently started virtually dating this guy, and so there's a couple things that are different about the guy, and I think that are different about the way that I'm approaching the relationship or whatever the heck it is. So one is he's not my typical type, which is... good, because my traditional type has not worked out so well for me thus far in the past 44 years. And at first when my friend, we got set up and at first when my friend was giving me the information, I like looked the guy up and I was like, no, I don't know, because he's not exactly, you know, the guy that I normally date.
Exactly.
And then I was like, wait a second, Dolores, you asked for this. And so I told you the story before, but I will refresh your memory.
Thank you.
Because your listeners have not heard it.
Nope.
So I was watching the show. I'll just say the name of the show because it doesn't matter. Because they're archetypes. They are real people, but it was for me more like archetypal in a sense. So I was watching that show on Netflix, the Zac Efron show, the one where he goes around the world, whatever. So so I'm watching the show and I'm a few episodes in, and there's parts of the show that you can tell Zach is struggling with his life and his kind of, I guess, you know, choices and being in Hollywood. And it's tough, right? It's an interesting place to be when the very thing that gave you success is the same thing that is like, and we know this because we've been around these people. We've dated these people that have so much self-loathing because the thing that has given them all the opportunities in the world is the same thing that like restricts them from being a normal person.
Yeah. I remember just on Zac Efron, I remember reading something in the news like 4 years ago that he was down on Skid Row buying drugs and all these people without homes beat the shit out of him. And I was like, okay.
Right.
Zac Efron.
Right. Not bueno. And so he's in the show and he's talking about how he got into the business when he was, you know, he was like a teenager and he was doing it just to kind of, he thought he was going to pay for college. And then he did this TV movie, right? Which as that's
oh
kind of launched
God,
his
I
career.
Had no idea.
He's like, I just did this TV movie thinking that it was going to help me pay for college. And that, you know, that was High School Musical and it just like fucking took off. Right. And so, so you can see him in the various episodes as it progresses along, especially as he's kind of going around the world and seeing like opening, you know, you open your eyes when you're starting to kind of see places in a way that you've never seen them before. Right. And kind of learning about nutrition or, you know, power or all of the things that we're doing to our planet and all the things that we're doing to our bodies. And so he partnered up with this guy, Darren O'Lean, who is this kind of superfood hunter guru, like guy lives in Malibu, whatever. Anyway, so the two of them are paired up and they go around the world. And there was this one episode where they were in the car and driving from, you know, one point to another. And Zach is like, oh, I got to get the fuck out of Hollywood, man. And da, 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 da. And I felt myself like being so drawn to him because I was like, oh, like, no.
I'll save you, Zach Efron.
it was this filling of this thing that I've done so many times, right? With that person, that archetype who is going through it and is in no place really in their life to have the type of, you know, relationship that I want to actually have.
Yes.
But I still have this gravitational pull to that. And so as I'm watching it, Darren was like teaching him something or, you know, telling him about something as they were about to embark on the kind of their next journey. And he was explaining something to him. I'm watching this as it's happening. And I'm thinking, wait a second, why am I always attracted to this like student archetype? Mm. Like why am, and then I'm always the teacher.
Right.
And then it becomes this weird dynamic where I'm teaching.
Like their mom.
And then I'm their mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, why are you being my mom? And mm-hmm. I'm like, why am I being your mom? And then it's this whole thing. And so, right. And so then I'm like, why am I not dating Darren?
Right.
Like, why am I not dating him?
Why am I going after Zach?
Right!
Right, when Darren's out there being all hot and all knowing and shit.
Right. And so he's probably like, I don't know how old he is, but he's older than maybe he's like, I don't know, he's maybe 50. I have no idea. But he looks like fucking incredible. And he's like,
yes,
he's
Darren.
So smart. And then now I'm like listening to all his podcasts and whatever. And so, and he's so smart and he's so interested and interesting, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, and he's like, has his shit together, right? He's a grown ass.
That's
human
how I feel
man.
About Wim Hof.
Yes.
I'm like, just take me with you to whatever cave you're living in. Yes. You are perfect.
And we'll be on ice together.
Yes.
And yeah. And so that was a real breakthrough for me where I was like, oh my God, I need to be with a Darren type instead of a Zach type. And so when I taking it all the way back to the beginning, when the guy had made the introduction or, you know, made the request to make the introduction to set me up, I was like, you asked for this. You asked for this like type, mm-hmm. right? This person who is older than you.
Yep. Doesn't need you to hold their hand.
Exactly. Kay. Who has hangers.
Who has hangers. Oh my God.
Right. Okay. So
Dolores and I met each other through our ex-boyfriends, and that was the ex-boyfriend who did not have hangers, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Did not have hangers. So, you know what I'm saying? And so I was like, okay, I need to start dating a different type of guy, and the way that you do that is you say no to the other energy and start to say yes to this
absolutely
energy, right? Which is even like last night when you were texting me about your friend who I've been fucking up your ass to set yep me up with for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm not even interested anymore, because that is like, that type is just not
ooh
interesting to me.
I love that.
Which was like such a, it's a huge breakthrough.
Yes, because he is a huge asshole.
Yeah.
yeah, it's really an interesting way to change habits is to just focus on the new one instead of trying to eliminate the old one. You yeah know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
exciting.
So this guy, what I've been trying to do with him, so he's different in the sense of different type of person that I'm normally dating. And then I'm different in the sense of I'm just trying to experiment on him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where the, we haven't even met in person yet. We've been only been dating virtually. We're going to meet in a couple of days, but I'm just trying new shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, the old Dolores would have done X and have been passive aggressive and been, you know, done all of these like weird behaviors. And the new Dolores, and ooh, I did do a little bit of that already, and then I caught myself, and I was like, okay, stop doing that. And he responded really maturely, which I was like, oh, this is what it means when you're when that person's not going to also do
meet
the same
you in your
exactly
bad
yeah
behavior.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to be a different version of the type of person that I need to be in order to be in the type of relationship that I need. Because if I'm not evolving and changing, then I'm going to just keep repeating the same relationship. And so I happened upon this book. I'm staying at a friend's house now. And I happened upon this book that she has. And it's all about, you know, all the things that we as women are kind of doing wrong and all the things,
I'm sure that's a long one.
It's a long one. And all the things that we need to unlearn, right? Mm. And all the stuff that's especially me, where I'm always in my head, I'm always in, you know, thinking about overthinking things and trying to manage, trying to control. And I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person in a relationship, because it really just emasculates the guy. If you are not in your feelings and you're not speaking from your heart, like, it is your job in that relationship, in that if you're in a heterosexual relationship and you're a woman and you want to be the feminine energy,
yep,
then you actually have to be the feminine energy. You have to be the feeling energy. You have to be the receiving energy. And if you're always in your thinking and giving, then he doesn't have the chance to tap into his own feelings. So if you're not if you're not making him feel safe, like if you don't feel safe enough to express your own feelings, then you don't make him feel safe. He doesn't know this, by the way.
Of course not. They don't know. It's all unconscious.
Right. And they don't make decisions about love with their brain. They make decisions about love with their hearts, with their guts, and their dicks. Right.
Oh.
Those are the three
points.
That's how they think. They don't. And that's why sometimes when you see guys with women and they like these women just keep doing these horrible things, you're like, how are you staying with her? How are you staying with her? But they're not thinking with their logic. They're in their hearts more than we are.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's always, and the other interesting part that I thought, which was she talks about the caretaker, and that the caretaker, because I always thought that the caretaker was the feminine, right? Because you're like, you have the like home and you're giving the food and you're doing all the things. And she's like, the caretaking energy is actually a masculine energy because it's a doing energy. It's not a feeling energy. And so I was like, oh, because that's what happens. I'm this caretaker and I'm making you dinner, and then I'm doing the dishes, and then I'm going to the grocery store, and then I'm doing this. I'm also working a full-time job, and I'm also doing all these things. And then what does he have to do?
Right.
Like, what's left for him to do?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, why am I your mother?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. I'm mothering him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been experimenting and just been like, okay, I'm going to say how I feel. And like stop and pause, and instead of saying how I think or trying to accuse, instead of saying like, you are too much this or you do this and it bothers me, it's like, hey, I'm feeling this way.
Mm.
And what do you think?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I did it the other day, and it was like perfect, because I was feeling like a little bit of like pressure around. I was talking about before we turned on the podcast, I was like talking about how I was feeling a little bit of pressure around like the expectations around sex, like, we're going to see each other in a couple of days, but we haven't even met yet. Right. I felt like he was had this expectation that I was not sure about. Right.
Right.
And so I was like getting really nervous about it. And I think what I would have done before is just been like, I would have shut down. I would have been passive aggressive. He would have come over. I would have been cold. I would have been like off-putting because I would have been like, oh, I don't really know. Is this really the right thing? Is he going to make a weird move on me and I'm not going to be comfortable with it, whatever. And I was like, why don't I just like say how I'm feeling about it? And so I messaged him and I was like, hey, I'm feeling nervous and I would like for us to spend some time together and maybe have an actual date or something before we just assume that this thing is going to happen. And I was like, what do you think? And he's like, absolutely, there's no pressure. Like, it can be chill, whatever. And then it ended up being like, he planned something. He ended up making a reservation at like my favorite restaurant in LA without me even having to tell him.
Okay.
You know? And so it was like, he just figured it out.
Nice.
Right. And so when I just, instead of me being like saying to him, you're doing this, I just said, I'm feeling this.
So it's interesting because I need to get more in touch with my masculine energy. And that has been so important for me. Do you think that if you have too much feminine energy, like if you're too much in your feelings and
I do. And I think that it also depends on like, what's the dynamic of the relationship that you want to be in and what is the dynamic of the person that you're with, right? Like how much of the masculine energy are they in and how much of the feminine energy are they in? And I personally, I want to be primarily in a relationship that has me as in the feminine energy and them as the masculine, but I do want there to be some fluidity there.
Yeah.
I do want there to be times where we can both be in touch with the other, right? And so that's really tough. But I think that's actually what I want.
Yeah.
Because it's not authentic to me to only be in my feminine energy. Like it's like I have to have some thinking and some doing, and they have to have some feeling, right?
Absolutely. I had a dream the other night that I was like doing something really cool, and my mom was like, I thought she was gonna be really mad at me, and she was like, no, that's actually good. You're like a really good little boy. And I was like, what? Why does everybody think I'm a little boy? And she said something, I don't remember what it was, but it was like, I remembered when I was little, I was really aggressive in the weirdest ways. Like all my friends were boys, 3 years old, 4 years old, preschool. And there's this video, like a home video of this little girl that got down the bottom of a slide and I shove her down and she stands up and I shove her down again and like won't let her stand up.
Wow.
And my mom was like said she just cried the entire way we drove home and was like so mortified and horrified. And then suddenly I've just completely turned off that part of myself. And it's like I just cut it. I repressed it completely. So I don't know.
What is it? Why do you want to get more into it? When you say I need to get more into it, what does that mean?
Well, it was, I think because of the dream. It was kind of just showing me how much more action I was capable of completing. Just how good it felt to be that action energy.
I see, the doer
rather
than the feeler.
Yeah. Very strange.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's definitely some repression there.
Yeah, you know? I'm just going to interrupt the show really quickly to say that Dolores has already said her age is 44 years old. She looks like she's 20 years old.
Absolutely.
It's so weird. So we've decided to take a lot better care of our skin. We're doing a whole routine. It's very fun.
It's so fun.
I'm loving is Plexiderm because it does make you look younger. Like,
yeah.
Immediately.
I instantly lost a year of my life. Or got one back, I guess. I don't know. Whichever way you look at it, I got a year back.
So you can try a 6-application trial pack for $14.95 with free shipping when you visit tryplexiderm.com and use the code BLEAV, BLEAV. Again, that's tryplexiderm.com and use the code BLEAV, BLEAV. I want you to tell us about that breathwork class you did. Because I feel like you have been able to make a lot of changes after you did that.
So I did this session. I actually just did one again last week. Did I tell you that I was doing that? I did a virtual one last week, a one-on-one,
yes.
Which was amazing. So the first one that I did, it's funny. It's like the first time you do a drug, like there's never you're chasing it. Because I've done a few breathwork sessions since then, and they are still incredible and amazing, and you still get a ton of benefits. But you're chasing that dragon. you're chasing that first time because that first time was so good. So yeah, I was at this event. It was last November, so almost a year ago, and it was really late at night. It was like 11 p.m. and we were in this huge tent, and there were definitely, I mean, I don't know, there were probably 150 people in this tent. There was a lot of people, and we had just finished a sex workshop with this woman who basically does like kind of tantra breathing sex with partners, but also with herself. And she, at the grand finale of her session, of her talk, was her breathing herself into orgasm.
Wow.
So that was the end of that session. Okay. And it was like, there was so much like sexual, like charged, you know, energy in this room. It was pretty incredible. So then we go into, you know, people, you know, some people left and went to something else, and then other people showed up.
Yeah, I bet they went and did something else.
They went to something else. and then new people came in. And so we started this next session, which was the breathwork workshop. And I think it was called ecstatic breathwork. So it was, again, like late at night. Everybody kind of shared in the beginning, you know, she passed around the microphone to just like talk about like, what are you trying to get out of this? And a lot of people didn't really know what they were. They were just there because they had heard that it was a good session. But everybody kind of came in with an open mind, and it was a pretty good mix of men and women, I would say. And kind of you lay down and you get yourself comfortable, and you're just like laying next to like these random people, and you start breathing. And so she takes you through the breathing, and it's like, it's a sharp breath in through your abdomen, a sharp breath in through your chest, and then a breath out through your throat, and it's all in your mouth. So it's like
okay,
and you just do that over and over and over and over again.
Oh my God, my head is just light thinking
about
it.
Yeah. And so she was an incredible guide, one. The music was incredible, and the music kind of it was kind of like the ayahuasca experience, but better, I think. A lot better.
Really?
For me. Yeah, it was better than ayahuasca. Because you're just able to access this stuff without any
without
drugs.
Seeing the trees having sex, yeah, like JJ without, was
yeah,
seeing on it.
Without throwing up or without, you know, it's like you, all of this stuff is here. You're able to access it. But the fact that you can access it with your breath is just pretty wild. You're basically just creating the DMT, I guess, in your brain,
right?
You know, instead of like having to kind of like ingest it. So through this process, you know, you just, it's like you're on a journey. She basically takes you on like a full journey. And there were
how long
a time,
was it?
It was probably like an hour and a half, like from start to finish.
What?
Yeah. But it feels like really quick. It
oh
feels like
gosh.
15 minutes.
Does anybody just like pass out or anything?
No, because then you can, and that's the other thing too about like, you're not taking a drug that you can't regulate.
Right.
You can just change your breath.
Right. Okay. Good
so
point.
There were periods of time for like 10, 20 seconds where I would just change my breath. I would just breathe different so that, because I was getting like too high.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I need to just bring this down a notch, and then you kind of go back up, and it's like steps. And so I felt like, I mean, you just feel like you are energy. That's all it feels like. You don't feel like matter anymore. You just feel like energy, and you can feel everybody else around you is energy.
Whoa.
And I could feel and I use the word orgasm because I don't really know how else to describe it, although it wasn't necessarily sexual in nature. But I felt like my eyes were orgasming, my heart chakra
just like
was
releasing,
orgasming.
Kind of.
Yeah, it was releasing. It was vibrating. You could feel the energetic vibration of all, like it was like my third eye, my actual eyes, my heart chakra, my solar plexus, like all of my chakras you could feel. And then like the ones that kind of go above your, you know, above your crown and even below your,
wow,
your root chakra, you can feel all of that energetic plane.
Wow.
So you're tapping into like, something that is not in the three dimensions that we can, you know, that humans can kind of see and feel. It's always vibrating, you know, because I've said for so long, I feel like my heart chakra is blocked, which was also a story that I was telling myself. Like, I feel like my heart chakra is blocked. I feel like it's blocked. I feel like it's blocked. And that really, more than any drugs that I've ever done, has had the ability to like open my chakras, especially my heart chakra.
Wow.
It's very cool. And I remember I saw you like 2 days later and I was like, I have to tell you everything about this
just
breath work.
Thinking that the fact that that was almost a year ago is mind boggling.
Yeah. And you know, we had shares after the session, and I would say most of the people at the end were men that actually shared. And all of them almost all of them said, like, I walked in here and I was like suspicious. I didn't really know what to expect. But I mean, there were like three different guys that made like huge life decisions. One was like, I'm leaving this job. I'm leaving this town. I'm moving to this place. I'm going to go do this thing. And one of them was like, my wife and I have been having problems, but like I had this vision of her as a child and I could see her as a child. I mean, like people and then he's like, I have this level of like appreciation and forgiveness for her. And so people had some really incredible breakthroughs, and it's just your breath, which is like the biggest gift that we have. And we have it all the time. We're always holding our breath.
I know.
We're always holding our driving. And I'm like, when's the last time I breathed? So I'm also reading this book now that's by this guy, Neil Strauss. Do you know him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he wrote The Game.
Yeah.
And so he wrote this book called The Truth. And so I'm reading The Truth now. And so I'm about halfway through. But it's interesting that he talks about essentially the attraction that you have to the opposite sex parent. Like if you're heterosexual, the opposite that you have, the experience that you have as a child with the opposite sex parent. And, you know, all of those wounds, and we know this, like we know, and I think I've talked about this before on your podcast of like dad, right? And it's like, what does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you actually trying to, like, what wound are you actually trying to heal? And why do you kind of keep opening up that same wound and replacing what you lost or replacing what you think you lost with that dynamic. And so the other thing that I'm being, aside from being open to, you know, paying attention to your heart and paying attention to your feeling and not just being in your head about like, oh, this person is good on paper, but also paying attention to what is the thing that they're bringing up for you and being able to recognize that pretty early on, as opposed to kind of having to go through the whole thing. And I think he talks about the different attachment styles and, you know, the avoidant attachment style and the anxious attachment style. And he uses like different verbiage. I think he uses the words that he kind of learned in through his therapies. But I have both, right? I have this, there's these kind of two, he talks about like these two dynamics of unhealthy attachment where there's neglect, right? So when there's the neglect that happens, you end up having, you know, a certain type of attachment style. And when there's enmeshment, which is essentially like a codependency, which is you are responsible for that person's feelings and that person's well-being, where there is the parentification that happens, then you have this other attachment style. And I was like, well, I actually think, like, I was listening to it in the car the other day, and I just was like, fuck me. And I almost started crying because I was like, how do I get rid of this?
Yeah.
Like, how do I get fucking past this finally?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because he goes through, and I'm like, I have both. I had neglect and I had enmeshment.
Yep.
And so I'm like double fucked because I'm anxious about, and so I pick people that are avoidant, but then also I become avoidant when someone has a secure attachment style with me. I start to become avoidant. So, and I'm just like, is this just fucking who, is this just baked? Do I just give up? You know, like, is this just baked into who I am? And like, I'm in it now. Like, I don't have an answer. Like, that's the question that I'm asking myself, like, at this moment on whatever today is. Like, today in the life of Dolores is trying to figure out, like, what can I do therapeutically to, like, to reparent myself?
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, I was telling this guy about it, and he was like, have you ever talked to your dad about it? I was like, my dad is incapable. I called my dad today, and I looked at the phone to see how long we talked, and it was like a minute and 50 seconds. Like, he couldn't wait to get off the phone. And last week, I called him to tell him that I bought a house, and I couldn't even tell him that I bought the house because he talked about himself for 15 minutes straight.
No.
And I was like, and he's 87, you know, and he just doesn't. And then I finally told him, I got a word in, and I told him about myself, about this thing. And he's like, tell me about it. And I started telling him about it, and I said four words, and then he just started talking again. And so he's actually incapable of sitting and having like a real, because he's not in touch with that. And so I can't do it with him. Like, it's not like I could be like, dad, no, can you come to
you
therapy
have to do
with
it
me
yourself? Yeah,
I have to do it myself. And so and even like with, you know, with the triggers that I get with my other family members too, because I'm like, when I actually sit and think about all of the, like, and everybody has trauma, and there's people that have way worse trauma than me, but your little brain doesn't understand that. Like, your little brain experiences trauma as trauma, not like, oh, this trauma is not as bad as somebody mm-hmm. else's trauma. Like, your brain is just experiencing the abandonment, you know, and then the abandonment, or the way that you experience the abandonment when a parent dies, and then in the aftermath of that, like, all of the trauma that happened in the aftermath of that, like, all the way up until, you know, through my teens, until I started becoming in relationships with men. And it's like, I hit everything in the book. I got it. You know, yeah. It was like all of the things that could have
fucked you up.
And it's funny because he's the other thing that kind of brought me to like my waving my hands yesterday is in the book where he starts talking about, if you are in a feeling of inferiority, that is your, you know, your attachment style manifesting itself as X. If you are in a feeling of superiority, that is the man, right? And I'm like, I am literally almost at all times in a state of both inferiority and superiority. Mm. And I toggle between it. In my mind, I go back, like with a guy, like a guy will make me feel a certain way, or I'll feel a certain way in reaction to that. And then I start to feel inferior, and I start to feel like I don't deserve it. And then I go all the way to the, like, I am so fucking out of his league. Fuck that guy. You know, all in the same 2-minute conversation in my head, right?
I don't think you can call it in your head a conversation.
And so I'm just like, and then I was like, fuck, like, why? Right? And so that's where I am today. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do I get myself past this so that I can have a real relationship. And then what I was reading today, he talks about, because I've been exploring, like, could I have an open relationship? Like, is that, because I've always just experiencing men cheating. Like, that's always what I've experienced. I never had an example of, like, a real healthy relationship, right, growing up. There was no marriage that I could look to and be like, yeah, that's what I aspire to be. And so it was all dysfunctional marriages around me. And so I don't have a mental model for it. And then I have all the, you know, the built up trauma. And so then, like, the inside little Dolores child in me is like not now trying to reconcile that and have a grown up healthy relationship.
Yep.
You're either the person that wants to commit and have the relationship with someone who is the avoidant, or you are the person that believes that you cannot, that, you know, that you can't actually have a committed relationship. And that as soon as things kind of get serious, you want to leave, or you want other options. And I'm like, I have both, because I want to be committed and I want to be in a relationship with someone who's also committed to me, but I keep picking guys who don't have the ability to commit.
Right.
Right. And then if I do find somebody that actually does want to commit to me, I get anxious and I'm like, mm-hmm. What if I see somebody that's like super hot and I want to like explore that person? Now I'm stuck with you.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it sounds like an open relationship would be great for you,
but I don't know if I could actually handle that.
Yeah,
I don't know that logic. Like, I mean, I think it does on paper sound like it would be a really interesting, it actually would be an interesting experiment. I did ask this guy about it. I was like, and he said he had done it before and it didn't, he's like, it's not the way I'm wired, and he's like, it didn't work for me. because something always ends up happening and whatever, which is true, right? Yeah, and so I really, to the people that can have it, to the anybody that can have a healthy relationship, no matter what, as long as it's like truthful and honest, whether it's monogamous or open or whatever it is, as long and they're happy and they're all on the same page and they're honest with each other, like, good for them. There's no judgments. I just don't know, what does that actually look like for me?
Yeah.
Like, can I sit and be with somebody for the next 40 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is the alternative to be with nobody? Because that sounds worse. I don't know. It's all confusing. So hopefully by the next time I'm on your show, I'll have some of this figured out. But that's just kind of where I am today. I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Well, I think, you know, the inner child stuff is obviously where all of this resides. And that's why we get, I drive around all the time like, fuck, I'm just fucked. Like, I cannot overcome this inner child, because a child is very stubborn. You know what I mean? And it's just like not letting go. And so I totally get it. And I think that what we have to do, which is the worst thing for me, because it's the thing I hate the most, but is just be like so patient and kind to that part of ourselves and just be like, oh my God, you're so scared. Because I want to shake it to death. I want to shake my baby self and be like, quit fucking with me.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're ruining everything. But like, it just makes it more mad at you.
Yeah.
So it's like all about slowing down.
Or being, it's like you're re-traumatizing it.
Yeah, you're re-traumatizing it. Absolutely. And so, and I talk to myself just like the people who traumatize me talk to myself. Yes. And all of those
Stop
things.
Stop expressing your feelings. Exactly. No one cares about your feelings.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
you're
which
ruining
is, exactly,
everything. Like, literally, exactly. I say that to myself. And then that self is just like, okay, you're just like them. I don't fucking trust you. I don't care if you don't like your life. Peace.
Yeah.
So I think especially for people who are like, I don't know, and their head a lot, it is harder to find that relationship with yourself, but it is something I think is the only thing we can do.
Yeah. I think what I discovered in the last week or so with me trying to like do this experiment of being in my feelings and talking about my feelings is like the reason that I have such a hard time talking about my feelings and being in my feelings is because when I was growing up, nobody gave a shit about my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
No one cares.
Totally.
Literally
same.
No one cares. And just shut up.
Totally.
Right. And so I didn't have any permission to talk about it. And so I found ways to express myself and to find attention through my thinking self and my doing self. And that got a good attention. And I was like, oh, I can get really good attention and good feedback from people and accolades by all the thinking and doing that I'm capable of. But there was never any reward for expressing my feelings.
Well, I think you would be the perfect person to start rewarding it. Sounds like you're starting.
Gold stars.
And then just, you know, in conclusion, no one wants to sit with the same person for 40 years. You can never think of it like that. Like, just be present.
Yeah.
Are you cool?
Yeah.
You know, and see what happens. Because I think,
is this a choice that I want to make today?
Yeah.
And then just every day you wake up and it's like, this is the choice that I'm making
what
today.
What else can you do? You know?
Yeah.
Dolores, loved this episode. Love you. Love your dog, who's just literally made my lap his home.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the best. Please come back and update us.
Okay.
Okay. We love you. Bye.